Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela. Madhya Leela, chapter 10, text 115. Translation, Sri Swarup Damodar used to read the poems of Vidyapati and Chandidas and Jayadev Goswami's Sri Gita Govinda. He used to make Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very happy by singing these songs. Translation, Swarup Damodar was as expert as a musician as the Gandharvas. Swarup Damodar was as expert a musician as the Gandharvas. And in scriptural discussion, he was just like Brihaspati, the priest of the heavenly gods. Therefore, it is to be concluded that there was no great personality quite like Swarup Damodar. Purport. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Swarup Damodar Goswami was very expert in music as well as the Vedic scriptures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to call him Damodar because of his expert singing and musical skills. The name Damodar was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and added to the name given by his sannyas guru. He was therefore known as Swarup Damodar or Damodar Swarup. He compiled a book of music named Sangeeta Damodar. Om Ajnanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are continuing this discussion in Madhya Leela when Lord Chaitanya has returned back from his South India Yatra to Jagannath Puri. And we are getting a glimpse of his daily affairs. In his daily, you know, we all spend our day doing so many activities which may be productive and take us towards Krishna consciousness, some may not. Mahaprabhu was completely absorbed in hearing and chanting not just the Maha Mantra, but also various pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam and especially the works of Bilva Mangal Thakur, Krishna Karanamrita, and the poems composed by three personalities, Chandidas, Vidyapati, and Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda. Now, we don't hear so much about Vidyapati and Chandidas. But Jayadev Goswami is kind of better known. Jayadev Goswami appeared in the 12th century. Chandidas appeared in the early 13th century. And then, 14th century. And Vidyapati appeared a little later. Vidyapati, so Jayadev Goswami's Gita Govinda, if you read Gita Govinda, the emphasis is on the intimate relationship between Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. However, Srimati Radharani's role in those poems is not very prominent, as in she's not coming across as the one in control. Whereas in Chandidas and Vidyapati's poems, Srimati Radharani is the one who is taking the lead. It's also poems glorifying the relationship between Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Of course, these matters are beyond ordinary discussions, and so I do not intend to go into the poems per se, but just good to understand that there is a little change in emphasis. So when somebody asks why did Mahaprabhu read the poems of Chandidas and Vidyapati, because these poems are slightly different. And Swarup Damodar was the one who would sing those poems most of the times. But if you attended yesterday's class and previous classes, Swarup Damodar would also check whatever comes through to Mahaprabhu. He would not allow anything to appear in front of anything or anyone to appear in front of Mahaprabhu unless it was sanctioned. Well, he sanctioned it. On what basis? Whether it is going to please Krishna or not. And this is, Prabhupada says, this is how we should live our lives. We should ask, well, whatever I'm doing, is it going to please Krishna? So Swarup Damodar was like, his role was like that of a gatekeeper. Yeah? And this same Swarup Damodar is in Krishna Leela as Vishakha Sakhi. So in Adi Leela, chapter 4, text 105, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport he says that actually Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur considers Swarup Damodar to be Lalita Sakhi. However, Kavi Karnapur, in his Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, he writes that Swarup Damodar is Vishakha. So is he Lalita or Vishakha? So Prabhupada gives his conclusion and he says, he's actually a, do you want to read that? What does he say? That's it. He's a direct expansion of Srimati Radharani. That's it. So he doesn't go into the argument whether he is Lalita or Vishakha. He says he's a direct expansion of Radharani who helps the Lord taste the mellows of devotional service. Now we understand that Lalita Sakhi has a very special duty. She protects Srimati Radharani, but she also has a duty of not allowing anyone to come close to Radha and Krishna unless they are qualified. So, one such personality who wanted to enter, we're talking of Swarup Damodar, yeah, who does the gatekeeper role. He's same as Lalita Sakhi and Vishakha Sakhi combined. And Lalita Sakhi is the gatekeeper of allowing entrance into Krishna's pastime, especially the intimate pastimes with Radharani and the other gopis. So Lalita Sakhi, there is this one personality who wanted to really, you know, when some important people are gathered in a room and it's a closed door meeting, then the less important ones feel, what's going on? I also want to be part of it. I also want to be privy to it. So there is Lord Shiva who wanted to be privy to what is going on in this Bamshi Bhatta. It's the place in Vrindavan where the rasa dance would take place every night. Lord Shiva wanted to take part in that, but he wasn't allowed. Because Lalita Sakhi said, no men can enter the arena. There's only one man here, which is Lord Krishna. So you cannot enter. You have to leave. And then he pleaded. And Lalita Sakhi said, only if you can gain Srimati Radharani's mercy, then you might be able to enter. So, Lord Shiva meditates on Srimati Radharani. And it's a long pastime. But after meditation and pleasing Srimati Radharani, Srimati Radharani tells Lalita, Lalite, go and bring him. And Radharani instructs him, go and take a dip in the Yamuna. The Brajavasis, they say the pastime as they eat a dip in the Yamuna. But some of our Gaudiya Sampradaya devotees, they say he went to Manasarovar for taking a dip. Whichever it is, he takes a dip and he comes out as a gopi. Lord Shiva comes out as a gopi and they give him a name. The name of that gopi is she who assumes the internal form of Shiva, external form of a beautiful, attractive girl, is Shivani. So they gave him the name Shivani, Shivani Gopi. Shivani means one who has internally accepted the form of Shiva. So then they take this gopi to the Rasa Leela where Krishna is, and Krishna, he looks at everyone and he looks at this new gopi and says, oh, who is this? Never seen her before. Where has she come from? And then before, Lord Shiva is feeling very shy. Before he can answer, he says, Lord Shiva, you look so funny in this dress. You know. And we are having a nice, peaceful rasa dance here. Everyone is dancing with each other. And here is a wild man. You know when Shiva dances? What happens? The whole universe, three universe, everything collapses. So he said, you are going to do your wild dance now here. But anyway, it's very interesting. So you can join for some time. So Lord Shiva joins. And then Lord Shiva tells Krishna, I want to serve you. So Krishna says, I make you the Dwarapal for Rasasthali. So if one wants to enter into the mood of the gopis, gopi bhava, one has to take blessings from Lord Shiva. Even Srila Prabhupada has mentioned to that effect, that Lord Shiva's mercy is required. And then Krishna says, from today, nobody will laugh because other gopis are also starting to laugh at him. So he feels even more shy. So Lord Krishna says, from today nobody will laugh at you. You will become the Dwarapal. You will become the gatekeeper for the Rasasthali. And just near Vamshivat, you will reside permanently as the Lord of the Gopis, Gopishwara, as Gopishwara Mahadev. So I thought I'll bring about a connection between this verse and what I've been asked to speak about, which is on Lord Shiva and Shiva Tattva, because today is Shivaratri, is it? Or was it yesterday? Was it yesterday? Celebrate it twice? Oh, that's nice. We celebrate every day. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is a festival every day. So, but I was asked to speak about Lord Shiva. So the connection, just to be clear, Lalita Sakhi has a direct connection with Lord Shiva because she is the one who becomes the conduit to allow Lord Shiva entrance into Rasa Leela. And that same Lalita Sakhi is Swarup Damodar, who is glorified in this verse. So, we'll now speak about Lord Shiva because, is today Shivaratri? Was it yesterday? Yesterday? It's today? Why is it today? Vaishnava calendar. Okay. But I read the Vaishnava calendar printed by Soho Street Temple. I want to be controversial here. Just some spice up something. No, so yes, they are in their calendar, Soho Street calendar, which is a Vaishnava calendar, they are saying yesterday. And Manor Vaishnava calendar is today. So there is something between the two temples. Huh? Controversy. Okay. Okay, if that's woken you up, let me continue. So here is the thing. Lord Shiva, Shiva Ratri. Ratri means night. Lord Shiva, see, generally we glorify devotees during the morning appearance days. But Lord Shiva's case, he is the Lord of darkness. So his glorification happens in the night. Shivaratri. So those who are ordinary followers of Lord Shiva, one more thing you have to consider. Shivaratri is on the Chaturdashi. Chaturdashi means the 14th day of the moon's phases. Moon has different phases. The 14th day, just before the new moon. New moon means no moon. Okay, in the sky there is no, you don't see the moon. So the 14th day is Shivaratri. So Chaturdashi it is called in Sanskrit, is the Shivaratri. Now, I want you to understand this. What is this Vaishnava calendar? Anyway, this was not the topic. I didn't think I will discuss this, but because you are all confused, I thought everyone will say one answer, but everyone has said different answers. So please understand this. Vaishnava calendar determines the tithi. What is a tithi? Tithi is which phase of the moon it is today. So for example, today the moon is in the second phase, it is Dvitiya Tithi. It's in the 11th phase of the 15 phases of the moon. If it's in the 11th phase, it is the Ekadashi Tithi, for example. Yeah. But how is the tithi determined? At the time of dawn, in Sanskrit it is called Arunodaya. Aruna Udaya. 5th canto Bhagavatam, it says, when the chariot driver of the sun, he starts appearing on the horizon, not the sun, sun is still not there, just his driver, then the light starts coming in, that's dawn. And when sun appears, it is sunrise. So sunrise is generally nowadays 6:40. But Arunodaya, dusk begins at 4:45. So now you understand this, very simple. Yeah. At dawn, whatever tithi is existing before dawn, that is the tithi of the day, according to the Vaishnavas. Not according to the Smarthas, according to Vaishnavas. So, yesterday, before dawn, the tithi was Trayodashi. Before dawn means before the sun has risen, yeah? Before dawn, tithi was Trayodashi. So yesterday, according to Vaishnavas, the whole day the tithi is Trayodashi. And Trayodashi finished yesterday at 4:30, roughly. 4:30, Trayodashi finished. So now, today, at dawn, the tithi was Chaturdashi. Yesterday was 13th, so at dawn today is 14th. And hence, according to Vaishnavas, today is Shivaratri because it is Chaturdashi today. But according to the Smarthas, Shivaratri has to be followed during the actual Chaturdashi night. So now, Chaturdashi finishes today at 12:47 p.m. So 1 p.m. let's say. Which means if they follow Shivaratri tonight, it will not be Chaturdashi, it will be Amavasya. That is why they follow Shivaratri yesterday. However, for Vaishnavas, according to us, today is the Shivaratri festival. Sorry, Soho Street got it wrong. It's okay, it happens. Yeah. According to Vaishnava principle given by Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami, today is the Shivaratri Mahotsav. For the Vaishnavas, for the Smarthas, yes, Shivratri was yesterday, last night. Actually, Shivratri means all night is divided into four praharas and four times Abhishek happens of Lord Shiva. First Abhishek happens with water and milk. Second Abhishek happens with cannabis, you understand? Bhang, cannabis. Then the offering happens with the crushed bones of human skeleton, bhasma. Then the fourth one happens, which is also of milk and water combined. So this is Shiva worship. Yeah. So why, we also know why this is done. But anyway, if you ask me the question, I'll answer. So they worship like this. Yeah. We don't worship as Vaishnavas because we understand that Lord Shiva, Shiva Tattva, is very, very special. And I'll try to speak a few things about Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, let me start by saying that Jiva Goswami in one place, I believe it is in the Sandarbhas, he says, three tattvas are very difficult to understand because they are the same as Krishna, but also they are different to Krishna. What are the three tattvas? Guru Tattva, Shiva Tattva and Ladini Tattva. Srimati Radharani is not different from Krishna and yet she is different. Guru is not different from Krishna and yet he is different. Lord Shiva is not different from Krishna and yet he is different. So it's very difficult to speak about Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva, as we know in Brahma Samhita, Lord Shiva is considered to be a vikara. Vikara means a change or a transformation of Krishna. Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat. Kshiram means you take milk and you add some culture in the milk. And by adding culture, milk becomes yogurt. This yogurt is like Shiva Tattva and milk is like Vishnu Tattva. So some very interesting analogy here. They both have a different effect. For example, if you have loose motions and if you go to an Ayurvedic doctor, they'll say, have yogurt. It'll stop your diarrhea. But if you are very wise and you think, well, yogurt came from milk, so let me have extra milk. Milk will produce more diarrhea. So the effect is different. The purpose is different. And it is the culture, the association with the culture which makes milk into yogurt. Similarly, the association of Prakriti or Maya or Pradhan is what makes Shiva Tattva. We can only understand through analogy. Also, another understanding is, you can get yogurt from milk, but you can never get milk from yogurt. Can you? No. Similarly, Lord Shiva appears from Lord Vishnu. It's not the other way around. So we understand this about Shiva Tattva. So what is this Shambhu? Sada Shiva. So Shambhu has many, many different names, of course, but also there is a lot of misunderstanding about who is Shambhu, who is Sadashiva, who is Shiva, who is Rudra. So maybe some of you can tell me, enlighten me. Who is Sadashiva? Who is Shambhu? Who is Rudra? Is there one Rudra? Are there many Rudras? Are there 11 Rudras? Are there 8 Rudras? And who is Shiva? I want your answers according to Srila Prabhupada's purports. Yeah, not some Google Guru, some random sources, according to Prabhupada, or you can go up to previous acharyas. Gopal Bhatta Goswami has written something, Jiva Goswami has written in Sandarbhas about Lord Shiva. You can also refer to Laghu Bhagavata Amrita. Rupa Goswami has mentioned about Lord Shiva's position. Or you can also refer Brihad Bhagavata Amrita, where there's an entire chapter 3, dedicated to Lord Shiva. So from these sources, I want to understand, not from some random sources. Who is Lord Shiva? Who is Shambhu? Who is Sadashiva? And who is Rudra? If there is one Rudra or many Rudras? Yes. Sadashiva is from the spiritual world.
And then 11 Rudras are in the material world as an expansion. It's a question.
It's a question, okay. All right, so somebody can answer his question. Govindji.
Well, I say the Rudras are an expansion, so I would kind of agree with you. I was going to say something else. Shambhu. Yeah. Shambhu is the reflection of the glance of Mahavishnu, Ramasamhita.
Shambhu is a reflection of the glance of Mahavishnu.
And I still can't figure it out.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Then?
Sadashiva is a permanent position. I mean, nobody takes birth. I mean, nobody can take his position. Sadashiva. And the other Shivas, they keep on changing.
The other Shivas are Jivas. The Rudras are Jivas. And, yeah. And Sadashiva is his permanent position.
Nobody can take
his position, okay? Yeah? I've not heard that before, but yes. Rudras, I've not heard them being Jivas. They're actually considered to be direct expansion of Sadashiva. And they also exemplify Shambhu Tattva. But is there a reference that they are Jivas? Rudras are Jivas? Or is it something you heard before? Or
I heard actually long time before in the lectures.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it has not come in my... Sorry? Oh, he has an answer. Okay, yeah.
Well, obviously, you have to... I think it was in one of the books by, you know, you got Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Amrita Vani, or is it Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati? One of those books, and I think I once read there something about Shiva being Jiva, which really struck me. I thought, that's unusual. I've never heard that, read that before. But it was a while ago, so don't kill me if I get it wrong.
Okay. Oh, that's... go on, Prabhu.
Rudraji is born from Lord Brahma and he's in charge of destruction. So you have the 11 Rudras who are in charge of destroying the material manifestation when the time is up.
Okay. Srinivas Prabhu.
That Lord Shiva who drank the ocean of poison,
yeah.
He's Sadashiva.
He's Sadashiva.
Yes.
Very good. Yes. True. All right. Yes, go in, Prabhu.
And there's one Prabhupada letter where he says, Sadashiva and Vishnu combined is Advaita Acharya.
Yeah. You know what he's referring to?
No.
Advaita Acharya. Sadashiva and Vishnu combined is a great Acharya. Advaita Acharya. Okay. Anyone else? Ladies? Yes. My Irish friend.
I just said something I heard before is that Lord Hanuman is one of these Rudras also.
Yeah, so Lord Hanuman is also an expansion of Rudra. All right, let's try and reconcile all this very quickly. So, some references, right? So, Sadashiva, and Prabhupada also writes this in a purport, Sadashiva in Vayu Purana is mentioned as non-different to Mahavishnu. So, Sadashiva is in the spiritual world. In fact, Jiva Goswami says he is in the... I'll come to that. So, Sadashiva is in the northeast direction of the Vaikuntha planets. That's where Sadashiva is. And he is non-different from Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is Sadashiva, is given by our acharyas. Now, this Sadashiva lok expands up to the... So if you look at a boundary, let's say this is a boundary of the material world, of the universe, it expands into the boundaries of the material universe, the same loka. It expands into the boundaries, and the one-fourth portion that is in the boundary of the material universe is called as Kailash, which is also known as Maheshwar Dhamma or Shivaloka. And the remainder is same as Vaikuntha planet. The same Sadashiva then expands. By the way, Sadashiva, where does Mahavishnu himself come from? Comes from the principle of Shankarshana. Shankarshana is... Who is Shankarshana? Balaram's expansion. But from Balaram comes four personalities, not one. Who are the four? Vasudeva, Shankarshana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. From these, from the Shankarshan come other four. Who are they? The same. Same names, but different personalities. So what's the difference? The first four are protecting the spiritual sky in the four directions. The secondary Chaturvyuha expansions are protecting the Vaikuntha planets. And from there, Sankarshan comes Sadashiva, who is Mahavishnu. Now when Mahavishnu glances, when he glances over, who does he glance over? Pradhan. Which canto of Bhagavatam? Second canto, third canto, both. So when he glances over Pradhan, the time factor, which is the glance of Mahavishnu, as Govind Prabhu was saying, the glance of Mahavishnu, which is the time factor itself, is Shambhu. That glance, that time factor, again, reference Brahma Samhita. That Shambhu is also then known as Mahakal, the great time. So one of the name of Shiva is also Mahakal. Then that Shiva, when he enters into the universe, he enters as Shiva, who is one of the three Purusha Avataras. Who are the three Purusha Avataras? Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Not Purusha Avataras. Guna Avataras. Purusha Avatar is Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. So the Guna Avataras as Shiva, Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma, three. From that Shiva, same Shiva Tattva, Brahmaji, when he is meditating on creation, he creates the four Kumaras from his mind. And third canto Bhagavatam. The Kumaras, they are asked by Brahma, please procreate. So the four Kumaras say, no, no, we don't want to be engaged in Maya. We will not listen to you, daddy. We will not do your job. Many children are not listening to their parents, isn't it? It's coming right from there. children not listening. So the four Kumaras don't listen to Brahma. Brahma becomes very angry. Out of anger, Rudra comes out. Rudra is anger personified. But this Rudra is Nila Lohita, his name is. And Prabhupada explains, Nila and Lohita. Lohita is red, red because of passion. Nila, dark blue because of ignorance. So he has quality of ignorance and passion. That Nil Lohita Rudra comes out. Now if you then read the last chapter of the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, where it glorifies Ananta. Is it the last chapter? I don't remember. I have not written it down, huh? Fifth canto. Hellish planet, just before the hellish planets. So, 25, that's it. So fifth canto, chapter 25, it mentions, actually, say 25th chapter, first verse itself, it says that 240,000 miles below the Patal Lok. Am I correct? Okay. Just checking. 240,000 miles below Patal Lok is Ananta. And this Ananta is same as Shankarsana. And there it says that when Shankarsan wants to destroy the universe, then from him appears the 11 Rudras to destroy the universe. And they are in the commentaries of the Acharyas. If you read Veer Raghavacharya from Sri Sampradaya, etc., it says that he is not different from the Shakti of Rudra, is not different from the Shakti of Shankarsana. And that is why I have not come across them being Jivas. But now I am going to try and get hold of Amritavani of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and check. So this is the different personalities. Did it make sense? Are you with me? So Sadashiva in the spiritual sky, the glance of Mahavishnu, the time factor Shambhu, Shiva, who is in the Maheshwar Dhamma, Rudras, the first expansion from Brahma, but the permanent expansions are from Shankarsana. Okay? Any questions? Make sense? Yes. Are there two sets of 11 Rudras? Actually, there are 11 Rudras and there are 8 Rudras. So, the one that comes from Brahma is just one, Nil Lohita. And he I don't want to say the word merges, but I don't know what else to say in English. Maybe Prakasha. He's the emanation of the 11 Rudras. That Nil Lohita is one of the 11 that comes from Shankarsana. Shankarsana's expansion 11, one of that comes out from Brahma as Nila Lohita, which is in the third canto of Bhagavatam. So total 11 Rudras, and the other 8 Rudras that are mentioned are controlling the 8 kinds of anger that we have in every living entity. Yes. Yeah, the other 11 are, the other 10 are mentioned by name. And they are all in charge of destruction. Actually, what happened? If you read third canto, it says that Brahma first asked the four children, please procreate. You look like very good boys. Sanatan, Sanak, and Sanandan. You four are very good boys. You create the creation further. They said, no, thank you for creating us. We are happy to meditate on the Lord. You can go on with your business. We are going to leave and we'll remain eternally 5 years old so that we don't even have to wear clothes. We don't have to do anything. Nobody gets attracted to us. We don't get attracted to anyone. So they remain 5 year old children. So Brahma becomes very angry. So Rudra comes out. And Rudra says, My dear father, he comes out and he's crying. Rudra means to cry. He's crying, howling loud. So he comes out, he says, my dear father, what do I do for you? So Lord Brahma is in charge of creation. So he says, okay, go create. So Rudra goes around and expands in 11 forms. He expands in 11 forms, is mentioned in third canto also. These 11 are the same that come out from Sankarshan. In those 11 forms, he creates. He creates some beings with a big head and a tiny body. Some beings with millions of teeth. Some beings with big popping eyes. All kinds of creatures that are so ferocious and dangerous looking. Brahma says, oh, stop. Enough of your creation. You go and meditate. You meditate. You follow your older brothers, the four brothers. You better meditate. Not for you. This is beyond you. Then he brings other people to create. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam. So, we see this Lord Shiva, special personality. Now, I want to take the next 30 minutes or so explaining how Lord Shiva is a great Vaishnava. And what are the five important aspects of a Vaishnava that a Vaishnava follows? Five things. Five precepts of Mahaprabhu, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, verse 128. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtana, Bhagavata Shrabana, Mathura Vasa Shri Vigraha, no, Shri Murtira, Shraddhaya Sebana. Five things. If you are a Vaishnava, you do five things. First, Sadhu Sangha. Second, Nam Kirtana. Third, Bhagavata Shravana. Fourth, Mathura Vas. Fifth, Shri Vigraha Sevana. You worship the Lord. So we will see how Lord Shiva is a perfect Vaishnava. Of course, in 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. Amongst all the Vaishnavas, Shambhu is the greatest. Actually, and factually, within the material universe, he is the first Vaishnava. Sankarshan Mahavishnu is the first Vaishnava, in one sense. So, not only is the best Vaishnava, is the first Vaishnava also. And through his mercy, we can overcome this material world. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami writes that Lord Krishna gave the power to Lord Shiva and to Shakti, Parvati Devi, to award liberation. But how do they award liberation? For example, in Kashi, which is land of Lord Shiva, Varanasi. When somebody dies in Kashi, they say the person gets liberated. How is it possible? It's because if he or she is really dedicated to Lord Shiva says to his wife Parvati, that when that person dedicated to me, he leaves his body. Just as he is leaving his body, I go to him, and in his ears, I personally chant Rama, 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 three times with deep love. And hearing those name of Ram, he gets liberated. So, Lord Shiva cannot independently award liberation through Ramanam. So, we understand this. So, we'll see all these five things. Number one, Sadhu Sangha. Lord Shiva himself is a great sadhu. Of course, very difficult to understand. No? He is wearing a garland, like Lord Krishna is wearing garland. Shiva is wearing garland also, garland of snakes. Yeah? Why he wears garland of snakes? Srila Prabhupada answers that actually. In one of the purports, he says, why Shiva wears a garland of snakes? Because snakes remind him of his Lord Shankarsana. That is why he wears the garland of snakes. Then he drinks poison. In 8th canto Bhagavatam, when the poison halal came out from churning of the milky ocean, who could drink that? Nobody can drink that. So, Lord Shiva is asked to drink halal. Why? Lord Vishnu says, you drink because you are able to drink. He goes to Bhavani, his wife, and he says, you take permission from your wife when you are doing some dangerous tasks. So he's taking permission from his wife. Please tell me, do I have your permission? She says, yes, yes, I know you are able to do it. Drink. So this poison which is spread across the universe, Lord Shiva, it's mentioned in 8th canto, he just does karatali, he just does come. And all the poison gathers in one place and he opens his mouth and poison goes in and it remains in his throat. But although it remains in his throat, he's feeling some kind of dizziness and headache because of poison. So he is dizzy. So there are some things to be given if you are drinking poison. Some Ayurvedic medicines are there. So poison is reduced by drinking of milk if it is a very mild poison. So first, Mata Parvati, she offers milk to Shiva. So even now, on Shivalanga, everyone is offering milk and water. So she offers milk. And then, by the way, as he was drinking poison, 8th canto says, as Shiva was drinking the poison, some drops of poison were falling from his mouth. And they were being drunk by the snakes and the scorpions. So they became poisonous. Now why they were drinking? They were drinking because they thought this is Maha Maha Prasad. Vaishnav, Maha Maha Prasad, they were drinking. So they got poisonous. This Lord Shiva, because to reduce his poisonous effect, Mata Parvati gives milk, no effect. He's still very dizzy. So then they give... Yeah. So then they think his head is going round and round. Let us pacify his head by putting the moon on his head. So moon sits on his head to pacify him. But no effect. No effect. So then they go for a hard medicine. You know, sometimes you have to be in ICU where they really drill into you every part of your body. They drill into your body and inject. I have seen one devotee in ICU in India many years ago. He had 23 different things injected into his body. Fortunately, he survived. But that is like, you know, aggressive treatment. So Lord Shiva also needs some aggressive treatment. So then Mata Parvati says, bring the most aggressive treatment against poison, which is cannabis. Cannabis is bhang. So she makes bhang. She makes thousands and thousands of liters of bhang and he drinks. But the poisonous effect doesn't go down. So now some Shiva worshippers also, they drink bhang, cannabis. But if you want to follow Lord Shiva, you should go in the right order. So take some, maybe now halal wish is not available. So take some red poison maybe. Drink 5-10 liters of red poison. Then you can drink cannabis, no problem. If you are still around. You cannot imitate great personalities. He drank cannabis, bhang, after drinking poison because cannabis is meant to reduce the poisonous effect. It is like an ICU treatment, severe treatment. So like that. Anyway, so Lord Shiva, he is in Rudra Gita, 4th canto, chapter 24. He's telling the Prachetas. What does he say? See, Lord Shiva is a sadhu. I was just saying, sadhu means, in 8th canto he says, sadhu means one who feels for the pain of others. Why did he drink poison? To reduce the pain of others. So he's a sadhu himself. And he associates with sadhu and he knows the value of a sadhu. Of course, people like Daksha think of him as ugly. Daksha saying, he says, your name is Shiva, but your name should be Ashiva. Ashiva because Shiva means auspicious, Ashiva means not auspicious, inauspicious, because you are in the crematorium all the time. You are naked, you don't even have the decency to cover your body, and you are dancing like wild man, and you are putting the skulls around your neck, and you are taking bath, you know, like the woman, they do exfoliation. He's doing with what? Bhasma. Yeah? And crazy. And Daksha doesn't spare any words. He says, my dear beautiful girl, Sati, Shavakshi. He says, she's Shavakshi. Her eyes are like a doe. You know, doe, the female deers. Beautiful eyes. And she is married to this Shiva, who's Markataksha. It's in Bhagavatam. Markata means monkey. This Shiva, like monkey-like eyes, marrying my beautiful girl with her doe-like eyes. Like that, he is abusing Shiva. Some people don't understand. But he is a great sadhu. And as the final instruction, ultimate instruction to the Prachetas, what does he say in fourth canto? He says, Kshanardena pitulaye, even kshana ardha, even half a moment worth of association of a sadhu. Na swargam, na punarbhavam. It's better than going to swarga, and it's even better than liberation. If somebody offers you half moment of a sadhu's association and offers you liberation, go for the sadhu's association. That's what he says. Bhagavat sanghi sanghasya, one who is an associate of a sadhu. Not even a direct sadhu. Bhagavat sanghi sanghasya. Martyanam kimuta ashishah. What is a greater benediction than such a person? So, even in Padma Puran, we find Lord Shiva is telling his wife. What is he saying? Vaishnavana, no. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnor aradhanam param. Amongst all the worship, Vishnu's aradhana is param. But he says, tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarcharam. So, tadiya means his devotees. So, he is concluding that sadhu sangha. And by sadhu sangha means, what does one do in sadhu sangha? Sit together and watch football? Not sadhu sangha. What is sadhu sangha? Parasparam madungatanam. They are bodhayanscha. They are discussing Krishna katha, giving Krishna to each other. So Lord Shiva, we are taking five principles of Mahaprabhu. We are still on sadhu sangha. I will do fast forward for the others. Sadhu sangha. Lord Shiva has a great sadhu, great personality, Rudra. In Padma Puran, it is said there are four bona fide sampradayas of Vaishnavas. One of the sampradayas is Rudra sampradaya. From Rudra, the Bhagavatam was passed on to, or the sort of the message of Godhead was passed on to, he spoke to Parvati. That's Bhagavatam speaking. I'll come to that. But the sampradaya, it from Rudra to Vishnu Swami. From Vishnu Swami, many generations down comes Vallabhacharya. But in Vishnu Swami Sampradaya also, we have Sridhar Swami, who is the first commentator of Bhagavatam. We also have Bilvamangal Thakur, who wrote Krishna Karanamrita. So great personalities appear in Rudra Sampradaya. And Vallabhacharya, who is Vallabhacharya? According to Kavi Karnapur, Vallabhacharya is Shukadeva Goswami. So just remember that thought. He belongs to Rudra Vaishnava Sampradaya. Vallabhacharya, who is Shukadeva Goswami, according to Kavi Karnapur. So this Rudra Sampradaya is a bona fide Sampradaya. So Lord Shiva, he exemplifies true sadhu sangha, giving Krishna to others. So he has his own sampradaya. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is mentioned by Gopala Bhatta Goswami, Shri Krishna Vaishnavanam tu prema bhaktir vivardhate, Krishna bhakti rasasara varshi rudranukampaya. By the anukampa of Shiva, one can attain Krishna prema. Because he is the guard who allows you to enter into the mood of the gopis. So, Hari Bhakti Vilas Gopal Bhatta Goswami says this. So that is the first point. Second point, Naam Kirtan. Devotees do Sadhu Sangha, and then second is Naam Kirtan. So give me example of Lord Shiva performing Naam Kirtan. Actually, Prabhupada sang that once. Brahma Bolito Krishna Krishna with his four faces. And Lord Shiva, he has five faces, Panchamukhi. He has four faces and one on the top, like this, going up. If you go to Kamyavan, you can see Panchamukhi Mahadev deities. Very nice. So, Lord Shiva, with his five faces, he is saying Rama Rama. Yeah? That is one example. Another example. If you read Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Brihad Bhagavatamrita is... Do you know what is Brihad Bhagavatamrita? Have you read? Little bit. Second part of Bhagavatam. No. Yeah. So actually it's Janmejaya, the son of Parikshit, discussing with Jaimini. And in that conversation, Jaimini says that your father, Parikshit's mother, Uttara. So Parikshit's mother, Uttara. So Bhagavatam is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami. After Bhagavatam is finished, Parikshit Maharaj is waiting very happily for Takshak to come and bite him and kill him. He is happily waiting. While he is waiting, Uttara, the mother of Parikshit Maharaj, is very sad. So she is very sad that he is going to leave, but at the same time she is very happy that he is going to go back to Godhead. But she also wants to hear that. So in that assembly of sages, she wasn't there. So she asks Parikshit, please tell me what you heard from Shukadev. So Parikshit Maharaj says, mother, at any time this Takshak will come and kill me. So let me summarize what I heard. The Amrita of Bhagavata, Bhagavata Amrita, I will give you. So this is a discussion. And Brihad Bhagavata Amrita is two parts. First part is about people. People meaning who, personality wise, is the highest devotee of the Lord. Actually, that is not the question. The question is, who has received the highest mercy? That is the question. And the second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is, which location is the highest location? So it's personality and place. Those are the two parts. Seven chapters. Just summary. So in the first chapter, summary, Narad Muni is going around and asking who is the best devotee. He finds a Brahmana who is worshipping Shaligram, and he thinks that the Brahmana has got the highest mercy of the Lord. This Brahmana says, you must be joking. Go to the king in South India. He's such a great king. He's got the highest mercy. Narad goes to the king. King says, you must be joking. This is first chapter finished. Second chapter. Go to Indra. So he goes to Indra. In Indra Lok, Indra says, you must be joking that I am the highest. I have received the highest mercy. Krishna, in fact, stopped all the Brajvasis from worshipping me. How could I have received the highest mercy? Go to Lord Brahma. He has got the highest mercy. This second chapter. So Brahma also says, Narada, you are my son, I will not lie to you. Actually, I have not received the highest mercy. I got bewildered by understanding whether Krishna is an ordinary child or he is a supreme lord. So I stole all his coward friends. I don't have the highest mercy. Lord Shiva has the highest mercy. So now third chapter. Anyway, we can summarize the entire Brihat Bhagavatamrita like this. But anyway, so third chapter, Narad goes to Shivalok. I already told you where Shivalok is. And in Shivalok, he finds Lord Shiva is doing a kirtan of, Shankarsana. Who is the Lord of Shiva? Shankarsana. So he's doing Shankarsana kirtan. And at that time, what is everyone else doing? Everyone else is saying Jai, Jai. Like when we are doing Premadhvani today, I was in that corner and some really enthusiastic devotees were shouting Jai very loudly. So these Shiva Bhaktas, they are all chanting Jai. But what is Lord Shiva doing? He's dancing wildly, singing and dancing. Singing the holy names of Shankarsana and dancing. And Parvati and Nandishwar, they are clapping as he's dancing. This is mentioned in Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And he's jumping up and down and he doesn't notice Narada. Later on when he notices Narada, Narada says, I want dust of your lotus feet. And Lord Shiva says, no, you cannot have my dust. And Narada says, I know you were not doing it as a show. You know, most of us do our devotional practices out of show. But here, Shiva is genuinely doing it. So, we see that he is in 8th canto of Bhagavatam, Parvati is asking Lord Shiva, you know, you are going into this meditation for thousands of years. What do you meditate on? Who do you meditate on? So this is after him getting bewildered by Mohini Murthy. When he got bewildered by Mohini Murthy, he ran behind Mohini Murthy and she took him to all those places where the great sages were doing meditation to show that even Lord Shiva is under the control of Lord Vishnu's Mahamaya. Not Mahamaya, Devi Maya. So then, when everything, the episode is over, when the movie is over, Shiva goes to Parvati and Parvati says, who do you meditate on? In response, chapter 12, verse 44 of 8th canto, he says, Yam mam aprachastvam upetya yogat. You have come to me and you have asked me, who do I meditate on? Parvati. Sama sahasranta uparatam vai. For thousands and thousands of demigod years, I meditate on Saesha, the same personality who became Mohini Murthy. I meditate on this Lord Vishnu. Sakshat Purusha Purano. He is the primeval person, original person. Nayatra Kalo Vishate Na Vedaha. Time does not affect him and the Vedas do not know him. That personality, Lord Vishnu, is who I meditate on for thousands of years. So, Nam Kirtan, we see Lord Shiva always with a Japamala and doing Japa. So, as a Vaishnava, Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan. The third, Bhagavata Shravana. This I will just in synopsis explain. Lord Shiva, it's mentioned in Padma Puran. He attained Srimad Bhagavatam directly from Lord Vishnu. And he recites Srimad Bhagavatam for 1 year. He takes 1 year to read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma takes 7 days and Vishnu takes 1 month. Vishnu as the Guna Avatar. He takes 1 month to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahma does in 7 days. Quick, passionately. And Lord Shiva, in charge of mode of ignorance, he takes 1 year. But what is Shiva doing? Constantly reading Bhagavatam, and through that he is getting his powers. And once Parvati Devi said that, please tell me Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Shiva, he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parvati Devi. And while speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Parvati Devi fell asleep. Like many of us do. Yeah. And when she fell asleep, Lord Shiva was in his eyes closed. He was just meditatively speaking. And he was asking in between, pausing and asking, are you listening, Devi? Are you listening? And she would just say, And at some point, you know, you can only, if you are really in deep sleep, you will not even able to say, So she was in such deep sleep, she could not say, There was a parrot on the tree who was listening to the Bhagavatam. And he memorized the whole Bhagavatam. And just so that Bhagavatam doesn't stop from the mouth of Shiva, he kept on saying, So he was listening. When Shiva concluded, he opened his eyes. He said, just see the glories of Bhagavatam that you have relished. And he sees his wife is lying down. She is proper lying down, sleeping. He is really annoyed. Then he is looking and thinking, who is saying, Oh, that is the parrot. So he runs behind the parrot. The parrot takes shelter. So there, Vyasadeva's wife, she has finished cooking and she has a long desire to have a child. And Vyasadeva said, yes, yes, I bless you, you will have a child. Just by blessing, you will get a child. And she is now tired after the day's activity and she yawns. And as she is yawning, the parrot assumes a small form and goes into her mouth and to her belly. And that parrot cannot be then killed because Lord Shiva comes and Vyasadeva is there and Lord Shiva says, this parrot has, you know, heard Bhagavatam. He is not an adhikari. He is not eligible, but he is heard. So now I want to kill that parrot or, you know, punish that parrot. So Vyasadeva says, now he has taken shelter of my wife, who has taken shelter of me. So one who has taken shelter of me, I have to protect that person. So you cannot do anything. So Lord Shiva says, okay. When he comes out, then I will think about it. But when he comes out, he is Shukadeva Goswami. So this Shukadeva Goswami, as Vallabhacharya, is in Rudra Sampradaya. He has received the mercy of Rudra. I don't know if it's making sense. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is constantly being sung by Lord Shiva, evidence Padma Purana, Mahatmya, Bhagavat Mahatmya. So, this is the, which number? Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavata Shravan. Then, fourth is Mathura Vas. Of course, in Mathura, in the four cardinal directions, Lord Shiva is present as Kshetrapal. I already mentioned Gopeshwar Mahadev as Mahadev in Vrindavan. But in Mathura, Bhuteshwar Mahadev in west, Pipaleshwar Mahadev near Vishram Ghat in east, Rangeshwar Mahadev in south, and Gokarneshwar Mahadev in north. Four directions of Mathura, Lord Shiva is protecting. So he is a Kshetrapal. So Mathura Vas, he is literally doing Mathura Vas. Not only that, when these demons are constantly attacking, the father of Radharani says, we have to take shelter of some place. Wherever we go, these demons attack. What do we do? And same with Nanda Maharaj. He says, where do we take shelter? So they do a conference. In the conference, GBC conference, they do, all the big personalities go, conference. Conference, they decide, you take one mountain called Brahmagiri, Barsana, which became Barsana, which is Bruhat Sanu, original name. It then became Barsana. Bruhat Sanu means four peaks. It represents Lord Brahma. So no demon can attack Lord Brahma. And no demon can attack Lord Shiva. So just adjacent to the Brahmagiri is another mountain, which is called Nandishwar Parvat, which is personally the form of Nandi is Ishwar, Nandishwara, which is Lord Shiva. And that place becomes Nandgaon. So Barsana is Brahma's hill. Nandgaon is Lord Shiva's, his personality. So Lord Krishna actually stayed in Nandgaon. So Mathura Vas, which is the fourth quality of a Vaishnava, Lord Shiva resides there in Nandgaon. Finally, Shri Murtira Shraddhaya Sevana. One should worship Shri Murti with full Shraddha. Worship. Have you seen Lord Shiva ever worshipping? Ever seen a photograph like that? No. But he does worship. Where? Where does he do worship? Proper Aarti worship? He does it with 10 billion beautiful women. This is the hint. Where are 10 billion beautiful women? Actually 10 billion and one. Huh? Not Kailash. Huh? Rasasthali? No. Hey, Rasasthali, you don't have like a paraphernalia worship, you know. Upacharas, 16 upacharas. Where is that worship? It is in 5th canto Bhagavatam we find Ilavrata Varsha. On the Ilavrata Varsha, 5th canto, chapter 17, verse number 16, it directly mentions, Upadhavati, Bhava Upadhavati, Bhava worships. Upadhavati means he worships with the upacharas. Shankarsana. He is worshipping. Deity worship. So devotees do these five. Lord Shiva is also a great Vaishnava who is doing these five constantly. What are the five things? Sadhu Sangha, Naam Kirtana, Bhagavata Shravana, Mathura Vas and Shri Murtira, Shraddhaya Sevana. Not just worship deities, with faith. Of course, Gaudiya Sampradaya Acharyas have commented that you should apply this adjective Shraddhaya Sevana to all five activities. Which means you should do Sadhu Sangha with Shraddha, Harinam with Shraddha, you should do Mathura Vas with Shraddha, you should do Bhagavat Shravan with Shraddha, and you should do Murti Sevana with Shraddha. So it's not just Murti Sevana with Shraddha, all five. So Lord Shiva is a great personality. What pleases him the most is to be able to give Krishna to others. And so our celebration of Shivaratri is not just chanting bam bam bole, taking cannabis, dancing like crazy. This is not celebration. What pleases Lord Shiva is when we give Krishna to others. And through the process of Harinam, Sankirtan, and book distribution, we can please Krishna. By pleasing Prabhupada, we are giving books to everyone, we are giving Harinam to everyone. That pleases Lord Shiva the most. So on this Mahashivratri day, I don't want to be controversial and all that, but on Mahashivratri day should be like a Maha book distribution day. And Maha Sankirtan Day. Because this is the day when Lord Shiva wants Vishnu to be given to everyone, Krishna to be given to everyone. And this is how we celebrate. Through Sankirtan, Harinam, and book distribution. So this is, in synopsis, so many things can be spoken, but in synopsis about Lord Shiva and Shivaratri. Any questions, comments or corrections? Anyone? Yes, Prabhu.
So probably the question. In the purport, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says, because Swarup Damodar is a singer, Kirtaniya,
yeah,
therefore he's named Damodar.
Yeah.
So how is that? Because Damodar doesn't mean a singer or
correct. Kirtaniya. Correct. Very good. Very good question. How is, in the purport, Prabhupada says, Damodar. Damodar is the name that is awarded to Swarupa. Actually, when Swarupa's original name is Purushottam Bhattacharya. When Purushottam Bhattacharya in Navadvip wanted to take sannyas, this is before Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. He left Navadvip and goes to Varanasi. And yes, Govindprabhu, am I making a mistake? Okay. So in my reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, he goes first before Mahaprabhu to take sannyas. He goes to Varanasi. Over there he accepts sannyas, but then he comes to Puri and his name is Swarupa by his sannyas guru. And Mahaprabhu adds Damodara because Damodara is the form of the Lord that was captured by Mother Yashoda, that was bound by Mother Yashoda. And Mahaprabhu is bound by Swarup Damodar by his beautiful singing and his beautiful exchange of Krishna Katha. That is why Mahaprabhu gives him the name Damodara, who is a great singer and a great speaker of Krishna Katha, which binds him, who is Krishna. Mahaprabhu is Krishna. So Mahaprabhu gives him the name Damodara. Very nice, thoughtful question. Does it make sense? Damodara. This was spoken by one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers from... Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. With Sadhu Sangha, we get more understanding of the Lord and ourselves. But then in a very moment's association, what does that actually do?
Yeah.
And how's that work?
What does a moment's association do? You know, we've been having Sadhu Sangha for so long, but maybe not much effect. What does a moment's association do? Yes, you want to say something? Govind Prabhu, what does a moment's association of a sadhu do? Mahaprabhu said, Lavamatra Sadhu Sanghe Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Lavamatra Sadhu Sanghe. Even a moment's association, all siddhis are possible. Sorry.
The bhakti shakti, yes, enters the heart of the person.
Correct.
Who receives.
Correct. It is like getting an injection. One gets injected by Krishna shakti, and that Krishna shakti may not take immediate effect. May not. But that Krishna Shakti will ultimately bear its fruits. Even unknowing to that person. Unknowing. That is why when we come across sadhus, saintly devotees, we should seek their association and we should know how to associate with them. Where we don't hang out with them. Yeah? We seek their mercy by serving them. Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya. Srila Prabhupada was in Cambridge and he was speaking to one Professor Leacock. And in that conversation, there was another lady who asked Prabhupada, can you give me some exercises to reduce my cynicism? So Prabhupada said, I'm not an expert at cynicism. Then Prabhupada said, don't expect a man to be like a dictionary. You'll ask any question and he'll answer. In any case, what is the worth of my answering to you if you have not surrendered to me? So Prabhupada says, what's a bona fide question? He says, a bona fide question, we only think of a bona fide answer, right? But Prabhupada says, a bona fide question is, pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. When you approach someone with surrender, please tell me the answer. I will follow whether I like it or not. Prabhupada says that is the right bona fide question. Otherwise, if you go and approach someone, Prabhupada actually says this, if you approach someone thinking, I will accept it if it makes sense, then it is not bona fide question. Prabhupada said, why are you wasting my time? You ask me something to just judge me, examine, Prabhupada uses the word, to examine me. You are wasting my time and you are wasting your time. Process is pranipatena. First you serve. First you surrender. Then pariprasna. Then you ask. Generally we don't have that first mentality. We just go and ask. When we do sadhu sangha, we just ask. Swarup Damodar, great example. Swarup Damodar we are discussing today. There was one personality very dear to Mahaprabhu, who only spoke to Mahaprabhu twice. Raghunath Das Goswami. Why? First time he spoke, second time Mahaprabhu just told him, please, speak to Damodar. Damodar will answer all your questions. So although Raghunath Das Goswami was in the association of Mahaprabhu physically, he never asked him anything. He would only ask Swarup Damodar. See how much service attitude. So Prabhupada says so beautifully, he says, pranipata is first, then pariprasna, and then sevaya, then after the answer is given, you follow it. Sevaya, you follow. Otherwise useless. So sadhu sangha does not have effect sometimes, because we don't have these three steps. Yeah? Okay. One last comment and we'll stop. Yes, Prabhu. Prabhujan Prabhu.
It's an interesting aspect to maybe it's sort of controversy, but Mother Kalangana,
yeah,
it seemed that she had left her body the day before
Janmashtami. Yeah,
and Jayapataka Swami, he said,
yeah,
the titi started the day before.
That's right. Yeah, so when she left her body, Shruti Dharma Prabhu and I, Shruti Prabhu sent me a message that she's left her body. And I told Shruti Prabhu, this is a great news in the sense, an auspicious news, because she's left her body on Janmashtami. And I immediately told Shruti Prabhu within minutes that actually the Janmashtami Tithi already started when she left her body. So, in terms of celebrating the festivity of her leaving her body, it is on Janmashtami. So, yeah. Shruti Prabhu then mentioned that to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and Bhakti Charu Maharaj mentioned it when he glorified Mother Kulangana, that she actually left her body on Janmashtami. Because the birth and death are celebrated according to the tithi that is current, that is on at the moment, not according to the day celebration. So, yes, this is the response, if this is what you were going to ask.
Yeah, so, and she had the symptoms of all those who wanted to give.
Absolutely, Krishna, absolutely.
Who would chastise and punish.
Yeah.
For Krishna.
Yeah.
And she would then, I can remember, I asked her if she'd be my spiritual master. And she, this was just outside the toilets, and she hit me in the arm, and she said, I'm a conditioned soul, just like
Hare Krishna. Great personalities, they are in eternal service of Krishna. Great personalities like her. Bhakti Charu Maharaj and I, we spoke very briefly once about Mother Kulangana, and he said she is eternally engaged in Krishna's direct service under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. So, it was always Prabhupada. It was always Prabhupada. Yes.
Always have hot milk.
Yeah. 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 We wish we can have Guru Bhakti like she had, her devotion to Srila Prabhupada. Guru Tattva is also directly Balram. And from Balram comes Shankarsana. So they are also connected. Right? So Guru Shakti is important. Alright, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktavrinda ki jai.